All right, everyone. What's up? What's good? It's your boy BQ with the Impact Lounge Impact Wrestling Review. First things first, I have to apologize for that intro. I had to throw that together really, really quickly. I know it's probably a little bit loud, probably sound like a shit a little bit. So I'm sorry. I had to throw it together quickly. I'll be putting something together a lot better. I could promise you that. My apologies. There was no show last week. And I know over the last probably like 2 or 3 months, there's been like random no shows happening. And we don't announce it. Nothing like that. And I know that can be stressful for you guys. And this past week, when we didn't do a show, our plan was to start recording on Saturday mornings because now I'm off Saturdays. I wasn't previously. So that was the plan. But then one of us always has something going on, you know, with family. So what we decided on is that I'm going to be reviewing Impact solo on Saturdays, since I'm always off. And don't typically have issues in the morning family-wise. So I'm going to be recording it solo. If TW is available, he will join me. And this is going to be a separate entity from the Cool Factor. So when I'm doing this by myself, it's just the Impact Lounge. Impact Wrestling Review is not the Cool Factor. If it is the Cool Factor, it's because me and TW were on it. You feel me on that? So we're going to be doing more mailbag shows, more news shows when him and I are able to link up. But I wanted to give you guys a consistent review of the show every week. And I feel that this is a time of the week that I can do it consistently. The only thing we're going to run into is when I have my Air Force weekends. When I got my reserve weekends, those might be weekends. There's just no show. So I will let you guys know. I'll do a little bit better job if I have to do some kind of quick little YouTube upload or be better on social media about it. I'm still trying to figure out how to navigate it. With this being said, I've mentioned to you guys a couple times that I'm going to be moving in a year from now to Nevada. So leaving Illinois, moving to Nevada. It's funny, when I started the Impact Lounge years and years ago, I lived in Florida. And then you guys were on the journey with me as I moved to Illinois. And now I'm moving to Nevada. So Illinois was initially going to be where I wanted to rest. I didn't want to move anymore. Like with the military, active duty, I moved a lot. When I got off active duty, I moved to Florida to be by my kids. But then I got custody of my kids, so I just came back to Illinois, which was the place I was stationed at, my last active duty station, and I liked it here. So chose to stay, but the fiance would like to be closer to home, so we're going to be moving out west. This being said, there is a new reserve unit that I've been approved to join, for lack of a better term. It might happen in December, might happen in January. I don't know exactly. But this unit is a little different to where they do their reserve weekends, if you will, during the week. So if that's the case, then I will have my weekends free at all times, unless I'm on vacation, going out of town, what have you. So I know this is kind of a long intro for you guys talking about some logistics stuff and how things are going to be going forward, but I wanted to give you guys some comfort that there's going to be a little more consistency with what I'm doing. Sometimes I'll live stream when I'm by myself. I don't typically like to. And sometimes I'll just do it like this, where I'm recording, upload, boom. So this is your Impact Wrestling Review with your boy BQ. If it's your first time here, it's still the number one place to be for the Impact Wrestling fan, contrary to popular belief. So make sure you hit that subscribe button. We support Impact here. We're very honest, though. You see my screen name, Negative BQ. You know what I mean? I'm a positive guy who they say is negative, you know? So I'm going to run with it. I'm going to run with that brand. And that's probably how this review is going to go. There's going to be things I talk about that I like and things that I don't like. And it's so funny on Twitter. I keep seeing, oh, don't listen to BQ. This fool's so negative. They ignore everything good about I say about the show. But it's just, you know, could be one thing that I don't like. And they are going to hold it against me. But that's fine. It's all good. Let's talk about a couple of news things real quick. Chelsea Green is, they say her time is with Impact is done. She hasn't really been contracted. You know, it was from what we understood, a per appearance thing, because she wanted to be able to do NWA or whatever she wanted to do, Ring of Honor at one point. I've said on many podcasts that Chelsea Green will go back to WWE in a heartbeat. Snap of a finger, she will go back. Even when she was signed with TNA the first time and she was on podcast, she's doing interviews, she is talking about WWE the entire time. And then at the end, she's like, oh yeah, I'm with TNA. And I like Chelsea Green. I love Chelsea Green, as a matter of fact. Big fan. Met her a few times, really liked her. I know that she's someone that doesn't, because she told me this when I met her, that she's not someone who likes to burn bridges. So that's why, you know, she felt she was able to come back to Impact. And, you know, I know she kind of burnt bridges with the fans the way she left the first time because she was the champion and everything. But Chelsea Green's goal is to wrestle for the WWE. It's always been that. She was a tough enough contestant. And if you listen to her or read interviews, that's where she wants to be. It's always been where she wants to be. She likes doing the independent shows and the smaller companies and all that. Absolutely. She loves to wrestle, obviously. But she wants that moment. You can tell this is someone, they want the WrestleMania moment. They want that national exposure. So this shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. It's disappointing because Vexed, I thought, was one of the better things going on the show. And they're starting to get the presentation down really nice, the way they dress, the way they come out. And they added Giselle Shaw to the group. Not added her to the group, but she's been rolling with them. So my assumption is that she might be tagging up with Deonna. And if Deonna wasn't under contract, I think she'd be out too. I think they both would go back there. I don't know if Deonna wants to or not. I have no idea. I've always felt that Chelsea Green wants to. They're like, she would go back the day after they fired her. You know, there's some people who they'll be at a job and they get disrespected by someone. So I'll take myself, for instance, with the military. I retrained out of the career field I was in for 15 years. And then when they tried to keep me, I was just like, I've been, you know, there was some stuff happened where I was like, I've been disrespected to the point, like, you will never see me again in these halls, you know, like, I will go do something different. Even if there was less opportunities for me because of it, but I'm a prideful person in that sense. Like, if I tell you bye, like, I'm out, you know what I mean? I don't think that she had that kind, you know, I don't think there's some people who got fired from WWE and they were like, fuck you guys. She wasn't, because she wants to be there. She's always wanted to be there. So even the day after they fired her, they could have, shit on her doorstep and fired her, and I think she would have gone back the next day. It's just what she wants to do. Deonna is a different story. Deonna was never really utilized in a way. She was given less of an opportunity than Chelsea was. So would she go back? I don't know. I think she might. I think she potentially would, but I think she's pretty happy with Impact. And I would say that, I mean, I would assume that she's going to team with Giselle Shaw going forward. But it seems like every time there's a really good tag team in Impact, female tag team, it's like they hold the belts, that's their ceiling, and then one of them's gone or both are gone. You know, it just seems like that's the trend, even with the male division a little bit, you know. But with the women, definitely, it's like you finally get a team who's a real team. They dress alike, they have, you know what I'm saying, there's like an actual theme. It's not just two wrestlers stuck together and then one of them's gone. So it's whatevs. So I guess we're not going to see Chelsea Green going forward. I'm sure we'll see her, you know, through the tapings. As far as signings, though, they did bring back PCO. They brought back Chris Bay and Johnny Swinger. So taking Chris Bay out of the equation for a second, like, these are the kind of signings you're just going to have to expect from Impact going forward. It's always going to be re-signing the guys who, you know, may not have a lot of options otherwise, or their options are MLW and NWA, you know, so why not stick around? So these are the kind of signings we're going to see them make and re-sign. The people above, you know, the more mid to higher tier guys and girls, they're going to be those per dates, you know, the per date basis. But it looks like Chris Bay sticking around for a while. Everyone's a fan of Chris Bay. Everyone likes Chris Bay a lot. There's a lot they can do with the Bullet Club with Ace and Chris Bay. They keep bringing in different, you know, Jagaloos from the Bullet Club who aren't signed with the company. It seems like now the Bullet Club is going to be these two on Impact going forward. Him and Chris Bay and Ace Austin. So I really think there is a lot they can do as a team. I think they should have a tag team title run. I think Chris Bay is going to be pushed a little serious, you know, a little harder, a little more serious now that he's going to be there long term. Both of those guys, they're in that company with like Trey Miguel, where I'm constantly asking why have they not been, and I put like the Rohit Raju category as well. Why have these guys not got up to that main event level yet? You know, they get a main event match every once in a while, but it's like, why are they still dicking around in the X division? You feel me? So it's good to see him coming back. Johnny Swinger, you know, when he first joined the company, I despised this dude. I was like, get this guy off my screen. And I felt that they used him too. Like, if you guys think back when Swinger first joined the company, the first couple months, he would have a match. He would have a backstage segment with Willie Mack. And then he would have a backstage segment with someone else. And then they kind of put him in locker room talk. And I'm just like, dude, what is their obsession with this guy? As time has progressed, I'm like, this is a funny dude. I enjoy his segments. I didn't like Swinger's Palace necessarily, but the rest of his presentation and character, I think, is funny. So I'm glad to see him around because it does add, you know, what I always say, it's better to do comedy with someone who's actually funny rather than someone trying to be funny. There's two very different, there's a huge difference between funny and between humor and bad humor. Swinger is like good humor. You know, Josh Matthews is bad humor. You know what I mean? And then PCO, you guys know I'm not like a huge PCO fan, but the company likes him. The fans like him. And I know he had said at one point that AEW wanted to talk to him, but he was under contract with Impact. So he, because I think he actually signed a contract the first time. It was a short-term one, but I don't think he was on a per appearance. I could be wrong on that. But he said he didn't want to talk to him because he wanted to respect the company he was with, which was awesome. I will say I have to give him props for what he's done with his character and how much he's grown, because when I went to what the hell they call it, WrestleCon, when I went to that years ago in New Orleans, and he was whatever character he was at the time. This was prior to the PCO thing. You know, I walked past his table like, dude was just sitting there, you know, like you got hundreds of wrestling fans walk around and like no one was coming over to him, you know. And I'm not going to say that's how it was the entire time or he didn't make any money there. That's not what I'm saying, because anyone at WrestleCon is going to make good money. But I'm just saying when I walked past him, there were people around him that had people at the table and he was just kind of, you know, sitting there. I think now if he were to go there as PCO, that wouldn't be the case. He seems to be very popular, very over with the fans. I'm not entertained with the storyline with Eddie Edwards because I thought it was very forced. I'm just glad it's finally coming to an end here. A couple other things we're going to talk about real quick, and then I'm going to get into the show. This happened a couple weeks ago. I don't know if they're still doing it. I just haven't had a chance to talk to you guys about it, but I know Impact was airing commercials during Raw. And I guess the opportunity was there for them to run during AEW, but they felt that the 30-second ad spots were too expensive. So are the Raw ones more expensive, less expensive? I'm curious. The viewership did go up by 4,000 people. Any kind of increase is good. You know, we want an increase. We just want to see. It doesn't matter if it's incremental, where it's 1,000, 2,000, as long as it's like trending upwards, that's really what we want to see at the end of the day. Is it a whole lot of, you know, is it a big jump? Not really. I think they jumped a couple points in key demo, but if it just can continue to trend up, that's really what we want to see at the end of the day. I think it would have been more beneficial to run ads during AEW because there were storylines going on. Feature them. There's interpromotional stuff going on. Now, granted, they weren't promoting, you know, Rich Swann versus Kenny Omega. It wasn't their job to. It's not their pay-per-view. But a lot of fans thought they should have because the Impact title was about to appear on TV there, you know. But I think if you watch AEW now and you see all these, you know, Japanese titles coming up and independent titles, you'll see it wasn't just an Impact thing. Like, there's a lot of storylines that they have going on elsewhere, even if it's independent companies that where the titles just show up on the show. That's just how Tony Khan operates. But I think it would have been more beneficial at the time to run ads during the show. The next thing I want to talk about, I want to tie into this, is Women of Wrestling. Let me pull this up here on the old cell phone. Wow. Women of Wrestling. They did. Because Impact was at 100,000 viewers this week. Wow, this last episode. I'm sorry, I'm looking at October 9 here. My bad. It was watched by 334,000. I got confused because the date on the article is October 21st. So let me scroll down here. Okay, I guess this article wasn't pointing out what I thought it was going to. I think it was referring to them beating Battle of the Belts from AEW in viewership. I watched the last episode of Women of Wrestling. And I did used to watch it when it was on TV before, when it was on Access TV. Granted, this is syndicated. You know, it's in every household. So there's going to be more people to watch it. And it gives you an idea, too, of like what Impact's viewership could be if it was in more homes. There's a big difference, though. Jeannie Buss, who owns Women of Wrestling, like, this is... I think it's a bit of a vanity project for her, but I think she also genuinely wants to do something special with the company. Like, you can tell she's putting money into it. She's putting money into promoting the product locally in Los Angeles. And, you know, she used to bring some of the wrestlers as guests to the Laker games and everything. Hate the Lakers with absolute passion, but that's neither here nor there. So there's a difference between her as an owner and like Ed Norholm. Ed Norholm, I don't know him personally. Obviously, none of us do. He strikes me more as that, like, that dude who the type of person who buys a stock. It goes up $20 and then they sell it. They're like, okay, cool, I made $20. You know, I don't know how much he really wants to scale this thing with Impact. I think he has the ability to, but when they're saying, oh, well, we don't want to pay that ad space, you know, they're going around telling people that they make $1 million a month off YouTube. I don't believe that's true because my metrics tell me they make $1 million a year, but I could be very, very wrong. But if you're making $1 million, I don't care what their other costs are. If you're making that a month on YouTube, like you're claiming, you got money to buy some freaking ad space. If you're serious about like growing the product. So it's not that the money isn't there. I believe the money is there. I don't think that Anthem sees the return on investment in doing that. And there probably isn't an immediate return on investment. But what it helps is brand awareness. You have to know what Impact Wrestling is. Like, you can't just run a commercial during Raw and all of a sudden that whole audience is aware of Impact Wrestling. You know, I run into people all the time. They say, oh, I'm a wrestling fan. I'm like, I don't really watch WWE. I watch Impact. And they're like, I'm not sure what that is. Because the brand awareness isn't there. You know, casual fans are not going to hear Impact one time and like, oh. So being consistent running ads and running commercials, that's going to help with that brand awareness. And there is a payoff in the long run there. You're not going to see an immediate jump in viewership. It's just not going to happen. Lucha Underground ran on Raw all the time, and they were still doing 100,000. It was a very difficult channel to find. So more people had to stream it online, and I think a lot of people were. But there's not going to be an immediate return on viewership. There just isn't. That's not how it works. But you put money into brand awareness. Like, if you're starting a small business, like, you have to know you're going to lose money up front because you're promoting and getting out there. You're not going to make that money back right away. And I think Anthem has done good with, you know, making the company profitable by finding different revenue streams and everything, but that's just the difference between Impact and like Women of Wrestling. If you watch WoW, it's corny, it's glow. The dude who does play by play, who like kind of runs the company, like he's annoying as shit. But if you watch it, and I think my main complaint is that the camera is a little too close to the ring. Like, it's really close. Like, the wrestlers are doing moves and their body is cut off, you know what I mean? So, or parts of their body, like their head's cut off or something. So it's a little close in my opinion. But if you watch it, the production quality is better than Impact. It really is. I think she's more, Jeannie Buss more willing to dump money into that product. And their target demo is a lot. It's like over double what Impact's is in the key demo. And I'm going to move on from this conversation. We're going to talk about option C here in a second. I watched this last episode of Women of Wrestling with my fiance, and I've mentioned to you guys before that I watch her as a I watch her reactions as like a casual fan. She's not like a wrestling fan, so to speak. And I've said this before. She'll watch AEW with me. She has no problem sitting through the show. I've tried to get her watch Impact a couple times. And I'm always telling you guys I don't watch Impact as it airs, but I want to say three, four weeks ago, I actually watched it as it aired. And she was just like, okay, we can watch Impact. I'm like, cool. So the first, 45 seconds of the show comes on. And she's just like, you could tell her reaction was like, what's this backyard wrestling I'm watching? Because it's not that Impact looks that bad, but she's just comparing it to seeing AEW. And she knows there's not going to be the same crowd, but it's like the production value and the production quality is so different. And that's what I'm always saying. I'm like, I'm not asking them to step it up to the level of AEW or WWE, but if they're on TV, they're going to get compared to those companies. You can't put on a YouTube quality show on TV, you know? So she had the reaction that I feel casuals or someone just flipping the channel would have if you go there and it's the pink lights against the wall and it's dark and you can hardly see, you know what I'm saying? So I watched the shows that aired. She probably lasted 5 minutes, but I watched Women of Wrestling and she was into it. She watched the episode with me and she was saying, I'm interested in this. Like, it got her attention. She liked the catty glow aspect of it, you know, but because it was different. And that's what I'm always talking about with Impact too. Like, be different. Don't do the stuff. There's some trends you can follow. We'll talk about some of those here in a second when I'm reviewing the show. There's some you can follow because you can't think outside the box with everything, but there's certain things you gotta you have to be outside the box or it's just going to be compared to another show that's better or looks better. You know, I don't think AEW is necessarily better than Impact. It just looks better. You know, so you're going to get that comparison. So that's what I'm always saying. You got to be different in these areas. Some of the things that I've been asking them to improve have been improving lately. Like, we're seeing those changes. The things that people, fuck BQ, negative, all these things aren't a big deal. Then why are they changing them? Why are they fixing them? And why are people getting on Twitter and saying they like those changes? Maybe, just maybe. I know what I'm talking about, even if I'm not in the wrestling industry. Just maybe I know what I'm talking about. We're going to talk about production quality here in a second when we go back to the show. But the last thing I want to talk about is option C. There's a lot of very different, I can't say the word. There's a lot of different opinions on option C, if they should keep it, if they should get away with it. I think people hated a lot for no reason. I don't want to say for no reason. I think it's over exaggerated, the people who don't like it. But if you don't like it, cool, that's fine. It's not like my favorite thing in the world. I'm unbothered by it. I'll put it like that. Someone can do option C or not do option C. I really don't give a shit either way. Like, it doesn't change anything for me. But I think with the X Division Championship, people feel that it devalues it. I don't know if I see that necessarily. I guess I get where people are coming from, but I don't think it devalues it too much. Now, if we were back in the Pop TV era where the X Division was bullshit, yes. But right now, the X Division stuff is really, really good. My issue is that Josh Alexander has not turned down a single challenger. Bobby Fish came in, wrestled the gauntlet, and then showed up. He's like, can I get in on this world title? And they had a main event that night. So all you got to do is ask Josh Alexander for a shot at the belt. So to do the whole option C thing and to win the X Division championship against Mike Bailey, who was pretty hot at the time. So to come in and do that, like, why did he need the belt? I understand the story. Oh yeah, I love this title, but this is my opportunity challenge for the championship. I would get it if he was someone at the bottom of the card, if he was freaking Zicky Dice, you know? But for him, all he has to do is ask. What guy have they brought in? What part-time wrestler or wrestler from another company has come in to Impact and not wrestle for the world title? I don't think Jonah did. I don't believe Jonah did, which is crazy. But, I mean, all you had to do was show up and be like, I want to wrestle you. So that is my issue with the option C thing. We're gonna talk about the tournament here in a second. Let's get into the show. So it kicks off with this is something I've been looking for as well. Well, they kicked off with the highlights. You guys know I don't care for those. I think they could be better suited when they're relevant to certain parts of the show that are airing. Like if it's a Bully Ray segment, like the way you put in his old TNA matches, like do a flashback from the week before. Do the clips then. But then they go to Scott talking to the Kingdom. And then We Own the Night plays. So this was kind of something that I was saying would be a little more, you know, don't do these long clips and then long intro and then the wrestling starts. I think it's very beneficial. If you're going to do the highlights, cool. But go into like I don't want to call it cliffhanger, but a hook. The thing excuse me, I'm drinking my coffee here. The thing with Scott and the Kingdom, that opening, like it hooked you a little bit. It didn't really play out on the rest of the show, but it gave you some kind of meat, something to bite into instead of wasting the first 4 minutes of the show with clips and We Own the Night. And then We Own the Night plays, big shocker. But I thought this was good. You know, they're standing in front of pink lights, and I would love to be a fly on the wall in a production meeting and just find out why someone thinks that's beneficial to put those Spirit of Halloween lights on the background of the walls. There's pink, there's blue, there's green, and they're just randomly there. I would love to know how they think that's beneficial. I know I talked at the top of the show about, hey, be different, dare to be different, you know, but that's not different. If it's not good, it doesn't matter. You know, if it makes you look cheap, okay, cool. It's different, but it's also cheap at the same time. It's not, it has to be different, but it has to be good. It has to like benefit you, you know? Scott fired him here. I kind of felt where it was going, but I thought it was funny. I thought it was good. These were two guys I really would have held on to, but these are two guys who, you know, Bennett, I would imagine, I've talked to these guys. These are great guys. Bennett, I would imagine, because he didn't get that like real, you know, opportunity at WWE, he really still wanted that bigger stage. Matt Taven's never had it. So I can get why they were in and out, you know. They probably felt like it was a lost opportunity when they came to Impact and all of a sudden Ring of Honor got purchased and they were like, oh shit, we could have been doing stuff over there, you know. But at least they got a title run. Matt Taven is someone that I think is really underrated. I don't understand why people don't like him. I think he's great. But this was well done, you know. It was a good way to get him off TV, right? Write him off, you know. And then we got, you know, We Own the Night, yeah. And then we get We Own the Night again, right after that. While they put a picture up of like right, we get We Own the Night. They come to the ring, put up a graphic of Allen Angels and Trey Miguel and play We Own the Night again. So we're going back to that. The last couple of weeks, they really chilled on the song to the point that I think it like only played once. They're not doing it to and from commercials, which is great, but they're still, they're back to trying to piss me off. I thought the graphic looked like shit, but at the same time, I was really happy that they put it up there because they don't put backstories. They don't put anything up. They just have random people show up and wrestle and be like, oh, this is for the X Division Championship. You know, just, it shows that there's some other influences. I don't know if the marketing, I don't think it's the marketing guy, because it's not really a marketing thing, but it doesn't mean they haven't brought in some other, you know, real television minds, so real wrestling minds. And this is the kind of stuff you do where you just give a little bit of backstory or a little bit of explanation of what we're about to see. Boom. Like, and it took all of 30 seconds of Wheel in the Night, but it was 30 seconds nonetheless. So it was Trey Miguel versus Allen Angels. This X Division tournament bracket, they suck at putting together tournament brackets, folks. I don't know what they're thinking when they do this shit. So there's two sides, okay? They do this every time. There's one side that is like clearly not going to feature the winner. And then there's one side that's got like three people who win the tournament. They're not setting it up like a number one versus number eight, number two versus number seven type of thing to where the two best hopefully made at the end. Trey Miguel is wrestling Speedball Mike Bailey next week in the second round of this thing. This should be the finals. But they're bringing PJ Black in, and because they think he's popular because he was in WWE 50 years ago, he's probably going to be in the finals versus Speedball Mike Bailey. Speedball is going to win this thing, folks. I'm not giving you a spoiler because I don't know who's going to win. I'm like 99.9% sure he's going to win. That, hey, we need you to drop the belt real quick for this storyline. We'll put it right back on you, though. Well, don't worry. That's what this is. So I'm not like super interested in the tournament, but the matches I'm interested in. I love Allen Angels. He's one of my favorite wrestlers. This is an Allen Angels shirt I got on. Shut up, five. I'm wearing an Allen Angels shirt right now. I love Allen Angels. So this was something I was looking forward to. But one side of the bracket, the shit side of the bracket, is being done on BTI for no one to watch. We had Black Taurus. He beat Laredo Kid. I could have told you he was going to beat Laredo Kid. Had Black Taurus not won his last couple matches, I probably would have thought it was going to be a draw, like a time limit, like they both lose simultaneously, you know? He's going to wrestle. He's going to move on. I don't know the gentleman's name, I don't remember who he's wrestling either because I don't have the bracket in front of me. But then we get Kenny King taking on Mike Bailey next week. Like Kenny King should be on the other side of the bracket. He shouldn't be on the other side of the bracket. He's probably good where he is, but he shouldn't be wrestling Mike Bailey in the first round. I just want to see them do something with him. I don't like seeing Kenny King as a jobber. I really effing don't. Another thing I brought up before, you know, I've talked about my Bachelorette and Bachelor fandom and all that. He was one of the most popular people on that show when he was on. He shouldn't just be jobbing. You know, I mean, granted, his time is past, but I don't know. He's capable of so much more, in my opinion. I really think he could be in the main event picture if they wanted him to be. But yeah, the tournament, I don't get it. It's the one side is clearly weaker than the other. You know, Allen Angel shouldn't have been wrestling Trey in the first round. Allen Angel should have been wrestling like Laredo Kid or Black Taurus. Kenny King should have wrestled the other one. So I don't really get it, folks. When they do it like this, it makes the finals so much more predictable. But this was really an outstanding match. A lot of fun. We knew Trey Miguel was going to win. There was no doubt here. But this was a really good match. They're back to the stage setup they've been doing the whole time. There's the Impact screensaver in the background. There's a you can see 8 fans on screen. I thought after Bound for Glory, cool. They're going to continue to do it this way going forward. And, you know, I don't remember who told me, but someone's like, I think it was only like that because they had the Bound for Glory set up and they had the ring and, you know, it was a bigger ring and everything. Like, I don't think it's going to stick like that. And sure enough, it didn't. We're just right back. Now, with that being said, I can see why Impact would only want to do that for the pay-per-views, because what have I been saying? Like, do something different, make it look different. I get it. But the presentation of Bound for Glory was so good that you have to find elements of that that worked and make the show look better. You don't have to make the whole thing look like the way Bound for Glory did, but there's, you know, there's certain elements you get, like, hey, can we capture the energy of this show? And I don't mean energy, the people. I just mean overall the feel of the show. Can we transfer it to how the weekly show looks a little bit to make it look better? But we're right back to seeing the entrance ramp, which I would say 90% of the fans don't like. You know, there's the apologists who like everything. The ones who tweet at me, I don't pay any attention to them because I have better things to do, like wipe my ass with my own hand without toilet paper. That would be more of a priority, to wipe my own ass without toilet paper, than to read some of your tweets when you're trying to come at me. I kind of lost my train of thought there a little bit, but so that's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to really hammer on that too much, but the majority of the people don't like that. But they also don't like, you know, 6-day contracts and shit like that. And they, you know, it continues. There was a backstage segment after this, Bullet Club, Tommy Dreamer, and Bully Ray. The backstage segments, I would imagine a lot of them, there was a clear difference in the backstage segments this episode. There were some that looked amazing, high definition. They looked great. And then there were some in front of the pink and blue lights. It seemed like all the Bully Ray stuff was in front of the lights. So maybe it was done at a different time. I don't know. Looks like shit. And then you have these other ones. I'll talk about them as we get there. They looked great, you know? So, but Bullet Club approached them. They're doing the who attacked me, who jumped me thing. It's so hard for me to care because Ace Austin was a heel until yesterday. And now we're supposed to have like sympathy for him. But that's why I don't like, you know, I like Ace and Bay, but I don't like the Bullet Club. I've said that before because I don't like tweeners. I don't like cool heels. That's just not my thing. You might like it. Awesome. I like a clear-cut heel, you know. That being said, I'm more intrigued by this Bully Ray stuff than it was. Like, I don't care that he won the Gauntlet anymore. Sometimes we've got to wait and see how stuff plays out, right? I'm more interested in seeing where it's going now than I was. Sometimes we jump to conclusions, and I still don't think he should have won, but I can live with it a little bit more now. They're still trying to feature Steve Maclin in some weird way into the main event, even though he lost in the finals of this thing. But, you know, I don't know. It's whatever. We get Vexed and Giselle Shaw after this. This looked great. This was what I was talking about. Chris Bay challenged Tommy Dreamer. Awesome. Can't wait. But the Vexed and Giselle Shaw, this is what I was talking about. This was real high definition. The lighting was appropriate. It looked great. It looked incredible. It looked like some of the older TNA stuff looked backstage, because, you know, the older stuff had a good vibe backstage, you know, a good feeling backstage. It had a good look. It had a little bit of grit to it. So I hope they continue this going forward. I feel like the majority of this card, the matches were popping up on screen, and I had no idea that they were even happening. Tasha Steelz wrestled Rochelle Scheel, I guess. I think it was S-H-E-S-C-H-E-L-L. I can't always read my own writing. She gave her a big boot right away. Hit a pretty shitty looking cutter. And it wasn't her. It was the girl dropped too quickly. But I hate the cutter, man. I hate the cutter. I wish less wrestlers would do it. There are certain people who are very good at it, but when it's not delivered properly, it doesn't look good. But it's really not that necessary. Let me get my David Penzer shot in like I always do. He announces every wrestler exactly the same. Heel, babyface, main eventer, jobber. First match of the show, last match. Everyone is announced exactly the same. So Tasha gets she gets disqualified here. She actually gets disqualified versus the job girl. She, Savannah Evans comes in, hits a power bomb, another just like move that everyone does. But I was thinking here, you know, they do a very good job with Tasha Steelz because she was she was 2-time tag team champion. She was a knockouts champion. And we see with guys like Rich Swann how they drop the belt and they're like got their finger up their ass after like, I don't know what to do with them. With Tasha Steelz, she drops titles and they find a way to like keep her relevant. They give her a relevant feud or something like this is just like, hey, don't forget about me. Don't forget about Tasha Steelz. Have her come in. Kind of sort of put out an open challenge, you know? But she was basically like, I'm not, why you put me against girls like this? You know, I'm the best who beat the best. So it has you wondering like what's next for Tasha, but something like this just buys her time, you know, instead of just staying off screen or coming in to lose again. Well, she did lose here, but I mean, how many times do we see the wrestler lose to the job person? You know, granted it was disqualification, but she didn't even care. It was intriguing. It makes you go, what are they going to do next? But they've just done a good job. I just say the same thing about Sue Young. They got so much life out of that character. They easily could have like moved Tasha down to the bottom of the card again, but they've done a good job keeping her relevant. Let's see. Okay, we got Chris Bay versus Tommy Dreamer after this. In this match, they started popping up the graph. They did it last week as well, where the graphics pop up in the bottom. This wasn't the match. I apologize. I kind of misread what I was reading here. During this match with Tasha Steelz, they had the graphics. Hey, later we got Tommy Dreamer versus Chris Bay. And then last week they did the merchandise as well. This is the way they did it is exactly to a T how AEW does it. So that's why I was saying, you know, not everything has to be different, but you know, it's effective. There's not many different ways you can do pop-up graphics, but it looked good. It links things together throughout the show and it reminds you, hey, there's this merchandise out. You know, it was just, that's the kind of shit I want to see. Negative BQ who's just been asking for this. Now it happens that everyone's so excited, but I'm the bad guy, right? Heath and Rhino had a backstage segment with the Motor City Machine Guns after this. Alex Shelley dresses like Urban R. Scheister. But Heath and Rhino are like, hey, you go talk with management. Everyone else makes matches backstage themselves, but hey, go talk to management. They have done this exact angle at least 3 times in the last like 5 weeks where someone goes to Scott's office and someone's already there or someone's coming out of the office. Like they're just doing the same thing over and over and over. Sometimes Scott is like randomly walking the halls and like people randomly run into him. And then the other times he's in the office. So like, it just seems like he's always where he needs to be for the sake of the angle. Very, very convenient. But they say, hey, no, who's there? The Motor City Machine Guns run into Cardona and Myers. And, you know, Myers is still a digital media champion. So that's odd with Cardona being there, but, they both want tag team title shots. So he makes the match Cardona versus Alex Shelley later tonight. So there was like 3 matches on the show where it was just like, you had no, I don't know. Did they promote any of these matches for this episode? It seemed like everything was getting, was just kind of happened on the spot. So then we got Tommy Dreamer versus Chris Bay. You know, I have no interest in Tommy Dreamer matches, but this wasn't bad. Usually you got to go old school with Tommy Dreamer, right? To make the matches worth a damn. The one time he wrestled like a normal match was against Rich Swann, who has bad matches with nobody. And that match sucked ass. Like that was the Tommy Dreamer birthday match or something like that. That match was do fucking do. But this wasn't bad. This wasn't bad at all. Right person wins, Chris Bay. Moose gets involved, and Moose must have signed a hell of a contract, because this dude is on this, like, I'm going to wrestle for you. He's like on some, like, Brock Lesnar, I'm going to wrestle for you twice a year type of thing. And I may not even be on the episode. I might show up for like 30 seconds and that's it, you know? So Moose clearly has a pretty good deal with them. I mean, they had to prevent him from going elsewhere. So, you know, why not? Right. But yeah, it was okay. It wasn't too bad. And then Aussie Open has a backstage segment. Lots of backstage segments this episode, but it looked good. There was no pink lights shining behind him. Their shadows weren't on the wall. You know, but they said they're coming back, and I didn't expect to see them back. I thought they lost to the Machine Guns and everything, and then we're just never going to see them again. They basically put out an open challenge, one that they're also going to lose. And then we get Shelley versus Cardona. What the fuck was this? This was the part of the show. This was the match of the show that every match, for what it was, I was into, you know, like, it had my attention. I was like, what the fuck is this? This was so freaking overbooked. I mean, how many times are you going to throw the title in? And then the title's part of the finish too. Like, this match was really bad, I thought. We don't usually see many bad matches on Impact. I thought Taylor Wilde and Mia Yim last week was not particularly good. And, you know, the Knockouts really put on bad matches. I think I saw some people liked it. I didn't. But it's pretty rare we see a bad match on Impact these days. This wasn't it for me. If you guys liked it, more power to you. I did not. It's weird. Like, they don't want to put the belts on a Motor City Machine Guns. They'll put the belts on someone who signs a 4-day contract, but the Motor City Machine Guns can't get a title shot, like a legit title shot. They got a title shot at Bound for Glory, but we knew they weren't going to win. I mean, it's just weird that they haven't held the belts yet. It's just like freaking insane to me. Or did they win them at one point? Who did the Good Brothers take them off the second time? I'm going to have to look that up. I can't think who the previous champions were at all, but I just don't feel like I remember seeing the Machine Guns hold the belts at all. So I will have to look that up. I know Violent by Design had, I think it was Violent by Design, right? So. Oh, no, they did have them, right? Because that's who Violent by Design cashed in on. No, they cashed in on Finjuice. Who, again, why do they have the Impact titles? Whatever. I'm sure someone's going to correct me on all that stuff. Another backstage segment. Josh Alexander talking to Rich Swann, my guy Rich Swann. You know, everyone always says how small Rich Swann is. Like, Josh doesn't look that much taller than him. And I pointed out a few times that Josh is sneaky. He's not short, but he's like sneaky normal height. You know, like we see him out there and he looks so tall, but you kind of put him next to some dudes who are a little taller and you're like, yeah, he's quite a bit shorter than them. But, you know, he's lean. He's got muscle. He's got a great look. You know what I mean? So you just don't notice those type of things. But he's not short by any stretch of the imagination. That's not what I'm getting at. But it's like he didn't tower Rich Swann like Kenny Omega did. You know what I mean? But anyway, they were chatting. They're kind of keeping Rich Swann out there. They're throwing him out there a little bit. You know, he's popping up enough to where they can use him when they need him to kind of get back to relevancy and they need him in a good angle. And then Gail Kim comes looking phenomenal. Just more of the don't trust Bully Ray stuff. But it's okay because I'm curious where the Bully Ray thing is going. I hope it's not like super predictable. I hope it's you know, somewhat entertaining. And I think I talked about this a couple weeks ago. Josh, so I mean, during this, he's jumped by Steve Maclin. I think I talked about this a couple weeks ago. Josh he's got too much going on at the same time. And I think that's the problem when you have a wrestler who it's kind of hard to write stories for. But there is a story here. You know, you're not just relying on him having good wrestling matches right now. So it's like they're running 50 storylines for him at the same time. he's got this thing going with Bully Ray, and then he's got this thing going with Big Cass, and then they're going to do the formula that they always do that's tired, and lots of companies do it, where can they coexist, and they wrestle a team that they team up for the first time and wrestle a team that's been together their entire lives, and then they beat them. But I don't know, maybe Josh and Frankie lose, because then they meet up here after this, and Josh is like, hey, why, you know, you say you don't need a partner. How about we take on these Aussie Open guys? Maybe they lose. Maybe that adds some actual heat to this freaking feud. Because right now they're just, you know, playing grab ass and tickle dick. Everyone seems to like each other. Everyone likes each other in these feuds with Josh right now. Or they kind of trust them, kind of don't type of thing. But anyway, what I'm getting at is that you've got the Frankie Kazarian storyline. Then you got the Bully Ray storyline. And then Macklin is dipping his toes in here. And then you have Bobby Fish, who pops up a week ago. And then Moose is doing something weird that I don't know who he's involved with right now. And then I think they announce he's going to challenge versus Cardona. You know, Cardona needs his own, like, build and feud and possibly even win the freaking belt. Not just like, hey, guess who's wrestling on Impact Plus. There's like 50 storylines going on, 50 title defenses. No one's going to beat him. And then it's like, say he beats Bully Ray. Who the fuck is he going to fight next? The roster's too small to do that. That's what makes me think Bully's going to win. They're trying to get all these things out of the way now with Josh so that Bully can win the belt and Josh can chase him. That's what I'm fairly certain that's what's going to happen. I'm very confident that Bully Ray's winning the title. I think they want to recapture some old magic. That's why they keep giving us Bully Ray throwback clips. So we'll see. We'll see, folks. But I really do think he is going to win. Raj Singh, who low-key has the best music in the company. We rarely get to hear it. This dude's music is fire. It's better than Shira's music by far. And then whenever they're a tag team, they come down to Shira's music. Like, they need to come down to Raj's music. Raj's music's off the chain. And he has a match here versus Joe Hendry. I think Joe Hendry's great. I think he's funny, like legitimately funny. He's entertaining. My kids love him. There's a lot of people like, oh, could he be a heel? Like, why? Why would you make him a heel? I think what he does right now is great. I mean, I guess he could use the same like positivity gimmick, like freaking the DDP shit, you know, and be a heel or the New Day, you know, but there's no reason to mess with him right now. He's not a serious character. He's not a joke. He's not a jobber, but he's not going to be in the main event. You know what I mean? He might wrestle for the Digital Media Championship. He'll probably hold the Digital Media Championship. Him and Brian Myers could actually have a very funny feud and it still have good wrestling. So we'll see if that's what happens. Eddie Edwards has a with me and Gia. They do a backstage. It's lots of backstage segments this episode, man. With Gia Miller. I'm sorry, Eddie Edwards with Gia Miller. Okay, there, better. All right, I got it from here. All right, I thought this was good. It looked good. Again, no pink lights, no nothing like that. Like, it just seems like they're maybe stepping up this backstage stuff. I really hope so, because it looked very good. The quality of these, the HD, the sharpness, the definition, the color, the balance, the contrast, it's perfect. That's what the freaking in-ring stuff should look like. I noticed with the in-ring, they're not doing the over color correction, but there's a gray filter that they're putting on it, which looks good. They've always used that filter. Well, I shouldn't say always, they have in the past, but it looks good when the ropes are blue and there's bright colors going on. When the ring is already like really, really dark, it just makes it darker. But it's whatever. I know I talk about that shit every single episode. But yeah, Raj Singh, he loses, but I was entertained enough through this. Like, I used to not like Raj at all, but I'm kind of like coming around on him. I think I just didn't like him because I liked the previous version of that Desi Hit Squad. I didn't really like his inclusion in it. I didn't really like his role in it. But yeah. But the Eddie stuff was good. He's clearly going to have a little feud with PCO. I thought the PCO thing was really, really forced. You know, you're a loser. You're a bitch. PCO is the only one that beat anybody in that freaking group. So I don't know what he's talking about. But he says honor no more is no longer a thing. The stuff with Alicia is personal. They really had an opportunity to do a good storyline with Alicia in this whole honor no more thing. I think she should have just joined the damn group. I mean, what the hell else were you doing with her? What benefit was it where she's just like, it's either me or the group? Like, who the fuck cares? She wasn't wrestling. It wasn't in a feud with anybody. Like, just add her to the damn group. You know, I think it could have like done wonders for her, but whatever. They're going to go to, you know, I don't know if they're going to do some angle. My guess is that PCO is going to beat them and they're going to have some like feel good moment with Alicia in the ring. I think that's what they're like trying to do. Oh, if Alicia goes down there and forgives him and kisses him, then we can flip Eddie Edwards good again. Keep an eye on that. Keep an eye on that, folks. Because what is the benefit of Eddie being a lone heel at this point without the group? He kind of teased, oh, I got to talk with Kenny King. I would like if him and Kenny King just like formed a tag team. That would be different, you know? That would be fun. We'll see. We'll see if they do that. Kenny King could use it. You know, he could use wrestling with him. Then they run down the card. I don't know what they were running down because I was tuning out. It was New Japan and Overdrive and, you know, We Own the Night. And then the main event happened. Let me put my notes down here, folks. Vexed and Giselle Shaw versus Mickey James, Jordan Grace, Taylor Wilde. This was great. The crowd was really, really, really. Let me take a sip of coffee. Ah, motherfucker. Really invested in this. You could really hear the crowd. There were certain things through this night where you couldn't really hear them. And I guess this selling was a sellout. It sounded louder, but we wouldn't know looking at it because we're looking at the entrance ramp. The thing is, when you don't have the entrance ramp on the camera, you can do run-ins and surprises, and there it's off screen, so people don't see what's going on. You don't see what's happening on the screen. Everything's happening right in front of you when the camera's there, but it's whatever, neither here nor there. I enjoyed this main event. They did it. The women did an amazing job. It you know, some motherfuckers just walking across my lawn right now. I'm looking out the window. I have a pretty big lawn. Like, it's one thing if you're walking across the corner of it to get to the other side. Like, he just straight in the middle of my lawn just decided to cross it. I live on a corner, so I mean, sometimes I get the shortcut where you're trying to get to the road, but come on. Dude's walking in pajama, looking like Dog the Bounty Hunter. Sunglasses and pajama pants. Lucky BQ, don't go out there, slap on the figure four leg lock. So this match here, I'm looking at it. I'm like, wow, this division, I hate to use the Josh Matthews terminology, but it's like really stacked. Like it's they really from top to bottom have a incredible division. Now, granted, we're losing Chelsea Green here. Mickey James ain't really part of the company. But I mean, man, they have so many women who could win the Knockouts title here. And you can't say that about the men. It's not that the talent's not there. They just choose to keep the same people in the main event. But, man, just talk about six, like, really, really talented girls out there. And you just got rid of Mia Yim, but, I mean, she left. She's probably going back to WWE, too. But, like, that was another one, man. They just had so many. And then the Taya, she's probably going to leave, too. Let's be real. But just Havoc and Rosemary and all these, like, Giselle, dude. This is without Killer Kelly even being in there right now. And then we know Tasha Steelz is doing work. Wish they still had Lady Frost running around. But, I mean, man, this division is incredible. You couldn't put together a male six-man main event with this kind of impact. I hate using puns like that. I hate puns. I hate puns. I hate cliches. But you couldn't put a male six-man event match together that just had this feel to it. The crowd was so into it, and it just makes me feel like, man, maybe they need to lean into the women more. Could Impact get away with the women being the featured part of the show, where they're always the main eventers, they're always the closers? I don't think it could work, but it would be nice. they just continue to have an amazing, amazing women's division. I'm going to wait till TW hops on a podcast and we're going to talk about one of my wrestling pet peeves is people saying Impact started the women's revolution. We're going to get into that, me and TW, and I'm going to let you know why that's a pet peeve. But this was just excellent. I think we knew who was going to win because Giselle Shaw and Vex got a win the week before or 2 weeks before. And you know how wrestling, you got to go back and forth. You got to trade wins. They're teasing Giselle Shaw going for the Knockouts Championship. I would rather they didn't do that. I mean, it's most likely like, hey, we need Jordynne Grace needs a Impact Plus opponent here soon. Let's give her Giselle Shaw on her way to wrestling Mickey James. You don't have to have a title match. Every title doesn't have to be on the line at all these events. That's my opinion. That's BQ's opinion. You know, you see it with AEW. There's two title matches per episode. They also have 97 titles. But these Impact Plus shows, even though they're really good, they're good. They're always good. 9 out of 10 of them are good. You don't have to defend the world title at every single one. Why not have the X Division title as the main event? Why not have the Tag Team Championship as the main event? Fuck it, have the Digital Media Championship as the main event. But you don't have to keep coming up with angles for your main titles. That way you give the actual storyline that they're trying to wait till the pay-per-view with, like, some room to build and breathe. When Josh is defending the titles twice before Hard to Kill, 3 times before Hard to Kill, why? Are we supposed to believe that Matt Fish is going to beat him? Is that his name? Bobby Fish. Matt Fish was a player on the Clippers back in like 1994, 95. I don't know. I have a habit of calling him that. Like, Bobby Fish is not just going to come in, win, and then move on to face Bully Ray. So why? We know that the Jordynne Grace and Mickey James thing is going to happen. Don't do any other storylines with Jordynne Grace. Just have her wrestle in tag team matches. She doesn't even have to wrestle. Do like Moose and just freaking be on a Brock Lesnar deal. You know, you don't have to defend him at every single show. I think it's a great opportunity to build up your smaller titles by having them close the show. Or make number one contender matches the main event. You know? Why not? What do I know, right? But this was a really good main event. Kind of see where this is going, where it's all going. Because we know Chelsea Green, she's probably going to wrestle Mickey James. And that'll probably be her last match. So what are they going to do with Deonna? Is she going to link up with Giselle? To kind of do a Vex 2.0 type of NXT 2.0, 3.0, kind of a Vex 2.0. Are they going to do something like that? Giselle would look better with Chelsea. They would work better together, but clearly that's not going to be a thing. Taylor Wilde just continues to look really, really good in the ring. Even though she had that match with Mia Yim that stunk. Is that earlier when I said I didn't like the match? Did I say Mia Yim versus someone else? I feel like I did. I could be wrong. Anyway, she's going to move on to something with Mickey James here. I think they're probably wrestling at Overdrive. Cool. They could do better with this Mickey James stuff. I think there should be more open challenges. Having some girls come over for MWA, have some women off the indies come in and you can use it as a tryout. I think you could really get legs off this thing, but these are one of those stories that they act like it's going to be this long story, but it's really like two, three matches. And then they just jump to the end of the book right away. You know, it's like a 13 chapter book, but they just decide after the third chapter, let's just get to the end. And I feel like that's what they're going to do here. But I just think there's more they could do with the Mickey James stuff. But, you know, I'm not out on it. I'm not out on it. I don't want her to go anywhere. I don't want her to retire. I just want her to keep showing up on my TV screen. So Solid enough episode, guys. This solid enough episode. Nothing amazing happened with the exception of this main event. I really thought was excellent. The knockouts are just, they're killing it right now. They are doing women's wrestling right. They really are. That's it for me this week, guys. Hope you enjoyed my Impact review here at the Impact Lounge, number one place to be. I am your boy. I am Negative BQ, and I will talk to you soon. Peace.